Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, presented by Bolin Media. I am Ross Bolin, here with Cade Orris. Cade, say hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I didn't have any coffee this morning. Ran out of my home stash, which is it's problematic when you're in dad mode, Cade. This is something to know for later in life.
Yeah, a lot of early mornings, I imagine, so you kind of need some coffee to wake you up a little
need
bit.
Need it. Yeah. Very badly need it. So I had to swing by the grocery store after I dropped the kids off at school, and while I was there, I saw they have like a breakfast pastry section.
As most grocery stores do, yeah.
Yeah, they typically do, but I don't like... We with the kids in the last couple years of life, and really stretching back to like 2020 with the pandemic, like we do the order and pickup thing now with the grocery store. So I'm okay. Like never in there.
Yeah.
Like it's been years, and this was an emergency situation. So I ventured in, and I obviously I saw the pastry section. I went over there and I just went off. I got a glazed donut, I got a blueberry muffin, I got a chocolate croissant, however you say it, and then. We had breakfast tacos for lunch just now, so I am currently extremely full of breakfast. I would note, you know how when you go out to dinner and there's like certain wines, this is what wine snobs do, it's not something I've ever done, but like if you've ever been to a fancy restaurant, they'll be like, oh yes, the duck pairs extremely well with this nice... Cabernet Sauvignon, or whatever. They'll, like, tell you which wine you're supposed to drink that makes that food taste better.
Right, yeah.
And, like, one of the great... Cade, you don't strike me as a big wine guy.
No, I mean, I'll drink it, but, like, I couldn't tell you anything about them. Like, I don't know the names of them or anything like that. But, like, if someone's like, hey, I got a bottle of wine, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll drink it.
Red wine, white wine, does it matter?
I like the sweeter wines. Like, I don't...
So white, I think,
white
is sweeter,
and,
typically?
Like,
more sugary?
Yeah. And then, like, the dark reds are... I don't know. Like
I was a red guy.
Okay.
And I loved it way too much, as people now know, because I don't drink anymore. But that was one of the best things about wine, is that, like, especially with bread, it made bread, like the combo together, wine and bread, fucking amazing. Something about it, the mixture, it's just an incredible, incredible taste. And similarly, now that I'm sober, I don't get to experience this anymore. The version of it that I have now is when I get like a blueberry muffin and I have coffee, you take a bite of the muffin, then you take a sip of coffee with the muffin still in your mouth. And that mixture, it hits.
It's just heavenly
it
in
is.
Your mouth, yeah.
Goes very, very hard. Breakfast in general goes unbelievably hard. And I'm talking full-blown breakfast, not like the snacking shit I did this morning or breakfast tacos.
You don't count breakfast tacos as
I mean,
breakfast?
Not really. Not if we're talking like breakfast as a meal. I guess they should count. But like breakfast tacos are categorized in my mind as like something you pick up. Because they're just everywhere in Austin. There's
right.
like a million options for breakfast tacos. It's one of the things this city does well. But more often than not, I end up having breakfast like for dinner more often than I do for breakfast. Because the mornings are just fucking chaos. And I'm not built for mornings. I'm not a morning person. I don't have the energy to like get up and like prepare a meal. It's the one meal I could actually prepare. Like,
yeah, because most of like the breakfast foods are pretty easy to make.
Fairly straightforward, not very difficult. And as a dude who's got very little cooking skills, like I can do scrambled eggs. You know, I could do pancakes. I can do waffles. I'm not sure how to do French toast.
Oh, I've done French toast before. That's pretty easy.
It's easy?
Yeah. You just a couple eggs, some milk, some cinnamon, maybe a little vanilla. You just throw the bread in there and then throw it on the pan. And you're good to go. I mean, that's how I made it.
How do you get the shape? Oh, is the toast just already exists?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In my mind, you had to create the toast. I'm an idiot. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That can't be that hard. But yeah, Cade, you also don't strike me as much of a morning person.
I mean, I can be, but I just like, I wake up early, but I just stay in bed and try to fall back asleep because I don't really have anything to do. But like,
and your job.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't start till like 10. So, and I wake up 2 hours early. I'm just like, I'm just going to lay in bed. I used to work out in the mornings, but now I kind of stopped doing that. So maybe I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, I think you're not. No. I think if you wake up and you stay in bed, you fit into the category of non-morning person with people like me. It just takes me a while to like get my brain going, especially the older I get. I'm not pleasant. I'm not going to have like a full-blown conversation with you within an hour of waking up. We don't record this show at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. for a reason. You know what I mean? Because I got to get there. I got to get to a point where my brain is functioning at a level that thinks you create toast when you make French toast. That's the level I need to be at before we can record the show. Cade, what are your favorite breakfast foods? You're making the ultimate breakfast. What's there for you?
It's just everything. I like
the entire smorgasbord.
Yeah, you know, pancakes, waffles, French toast, doesn't matter. Like when I go out and get breakfast, I usually get like the traditional. So pancakes or French toast and then scrambled eggs and like a choice of meat. So it's like I like either bacon or ham. I like to go ham a lot.
Ham guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I'll take a sausage.
Very
too.
Canadian of you.
Yeah. I might be somewhat Canadian. I don't know. My birthday's on Canada Day, so I guess that counts. I don't know.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes you Canadian, okay. But you can count it if you'd like.
So yeah, something like that is usually my go to. And then I like biscuits and gravy. I did that last weekend. Made that.
That's good stuff.
It hits.
Biscuits. I like jelly on stuff, like jelly on my toast, jelly on my bagel. I'm not a cream cheese guy. Gravy's great, but I'd rather have jelly on my roll than gravy. But this is one of the great things about breakfast. When you say, like, I want everything, everybody knows what that means for the most part. There's like 15 breakfast things that you can pick from, and that's it. And in terms of like your main course, you're usually going with like waffles, pancakes, or French toast. And I love all three of those pretty much equally. It's like dependent on the mood, dependent on the day, what I'm going to pick from those three as my main thing. But then eggs, right? I'm a scrambled eggs guy.
Always, yeah. But then there's like so many ways you can do your eggs.
I know. I love a good omelet. I don't mind sunny side up, runny, fucking the harder version, whatever that's called.
Over easy.
Over easy,
or I thought the runny version
was the runny version. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck all the names are, but that's because I always pick scrambled if I have the option. That being said, I will eat the other versions. If somebody set them down in front of me, eggs of any kind.
It's the same shit. It's just how you cook it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still taking it down the windpipe. I usually put a little Cholula, some hot sauce on my eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
I'll do some cheese or mix in some ham or some other sort of meat.
Yeah, my parents used to make really, really cheesy scrambled eggs for breakfast when I was a kid, and that they're so good. Also, crispy bacon, the best. Last time we had breakfast for dinner at my house, I don't know if my wife just like accidentally made way too much bacon or something, but she gave me like 15 strips of bacon, and I was a little suspicious that she might be trying to cause me to have a heart attack. Because it was excessive, but I ate all of it. And I'm pretty sure we have like the healthier bacon in our house. You know how there's
turkey bacon?
Yeah, I don't know if it's turkey. I don't know what it was, but I've been eating the healthy version for so long that I don't even remember what the regular version tastes like. Probably be like sex if I had a regular piece of bacon at this
point. Probably, yeah.
I love sausage too. Those little baby dick sausages.
The little chode ones?
Yeah, the little, they're not even chodes. No, they're just
like little tiny guys.
Yeah, the little guys, you know, those are the best ones. But I'll take the circular.
Yep, there you go.
Circular, flat sausages or the large links. I don't discriminate. Any kind of sausage, get it in my mouth. Hash browns, delicious. Had some of those with my breakfast
tacos.
Those
are also good, yeah.
Love hash browns. As far as the beverage goes, what do you pick? Breakfast drink of choice.
See, I'm a coffee guy now, so I do
yeah,
that.
That's fine. That's a fine answer.
But
mix some water in there, though, you know?
I probably should,
You
yeah,
should.
Yeah.
Not in the coffee, like, actually mix it
well,
in.
Well, there's
like,
already water in the coffee, so.
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, probably
toward
not.
You being hydrated.
But I used to be a big chocolate milk guy. I mean, I still am.
I used to be, too. I had to stop. Just like with drinking. Like, I had to walk away from alcohol and chocolate milk.
That's tough. Those are two of the best drinks out there.
I know. It's the spice of life, and I've abandoned it.
But yeah, that's, oh man, I love me some chalky milk. Makes the pain go away.
It does, dude. it's so good.
And then, yeah, just juice. Like, I'll do a pineapple orange juice.
Oh.
So that's real good stuff.
Pineapple
I'll do apple juice.
Underappreciated.
See, I don't think I can do just straight pineapple juice. I think I need...
Needs to be a mix?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then apple juice as well, but I don't really drink that. If it's there, I might be like, oh, it's been a while, so I'll take some apple juice.
It's good.
It's good stuff.
It's always in my house because of the kids. Kids love apple juice, and I drink a lot of it, of their juice, and I feel kind of bad sometimes because I can tell how big of a dent I'm putting in the... You know, it's not that big of a container. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. I'm an orange juice guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my go-to, and I like it when it says some pulp.
Some pulp.
Like Tony Soprano. Yeah. Not full pulp, and I don't want a phone thrown at me, but I also don't want no pulp.
Yeah.
I want some pulp.
Just a small amount of pulp, just like enough to they could taste it.
That had to have been a fun meeting, the first guy who pitched that idea. They had two options, pulp and no pulp, and some dude was like, what if we did one in between?
Just a little bit of pulp.
Some pulp, and we'll call it that. That
also, like, how much pulp do you need for it to be some pulp? Like, how are they measuring that?
It's this that middle mark right between pulp and no pulp.
So when you're just squeezing the orange, you're just like, are you like scooping some of the pulp out?
Are they removing pulp?
Yeah.
Don't know. We'd have to do a full-blown investigation at the fucking Minute Maid factory to find out. Anyway, breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day, no matter when you have it, I always say. I am also, I should note, aside from being extremely full of breakfast foods as we record this episode, I'm extremely sore, very sore, sore as shit today thanks to Fitbod. When I'm working out, there are a few essentials that I must have. My AirPods, my water bottle, and my Fitbod app on my phone. If you're trying to make this year a more fit year for your bod, the essential your workout really needs is Fitbod. Fitbod is a fitness app that creates completely personalized workouts that adapt as you improve. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, Fitbod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper. You can work out anywhere with or without equipment, and it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you. So let's say you're like me and you work out in your garage. You don't go to a gym. You have a select amount of equipment. One of my favorite things about the Fitbod app is you go in, you select all the equipment that is available to you, and it builds the workout for you around just that equipment. So it's not asking you to do crazy shit with machines that don't exist in your vicinity. It's just the equipment you have, which makes it very, very easy. And like I said, you don't really need equipment, that you can do just body weight workouts that Fitbod will make for you as well. It's extremely helpful because every single workout that you do and that Fitbod gives you to do, there is also a video accompanying it with a person showing you exactly how to do the workout so that you can visually see how to do it. And then below the video, there is text describing to you exactly what you're supposed to be doing, where you're supposed to feel it, what, you know, it's like keep your core tight while you engage your legs, like that kind of thing, letting you know whether you are doing it right or wrong and making sure that you're doing it correctly. It's awesome. And like I said, it also progresses as you progress. So like as I get stronger, you know, I finish a workout and it asks me how easy or difficult it was on this little sliding scale they've got. If I say it was really, really easy, low effort, next time it's going to give me more weight to do or more reps to do and make it more challenging to make sure that I'm continuing to get the results that I'm looking for instead of plateauing or bottoming out. And that is awesome as well. You can also tell it like specifically, you know, if you're looking to just focus on legs and abs today or something like that, like you can get it all personalized to exactly what you want. It's super, super easy. And another one of my favorite things about it, like I don't have time to sit there and come up with a workout every day. Like I know X amount of workouts, right? Like, there's a half dozen things I could come up with probably if I had to, because I used to play baseball and I spent a lot of time in the gym and training as a result when I was in high school 400 years ago. But if you just do the same shit over and over and over, you're not going to get the results you're looking for. That's one of the problems I had for years when I was working out without Fitbod before they became a sponsor, before I got introduced to it. And I don't have time to come up with my own shit and learn new stuff. So Fitbod, I know it's nice because I can just walk into my garage, pull out the app, pull out my workout for the day, and that's it. It's all right there for me. All the shit that I need to do, whether or not I've done it before, doesn't matter because they've got the videos and the text explaining to me how each workout works. It's awesome, and I love it. But yeah, so most recently I had pretty hardcore leg day trying to keep the chicken legs in check. And they hurt. They hurt today. They hurt good, though. The good kind of hurt, Cade. You know.
Oh, I know about the good hurt, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/Ross. That's FITBOD.ME/ROSS, fitbod.me/Ross. Love Fitbod. Love them as a sponsor. Used them all last year. I'm at like 108 Fitbod workouts now. Been going strong through the first 10 days of 2024.
Good stuff. Keep
I'm
it
proud
up.
Of me.
Yeah, you should be.
Thank you, Cade. So, speaking of fitness...
Sure.
Working? No, there's no connection. It's a media-related thing that I want to discuss here, and it's interesting to me because we're talking about the Pat McAfee Show, okay? It's on ESPN. For those of you who are not familiar, I will give you a little bit of background and insight into what the show is, how it came to be, and the big whirlpool of drama that has been brewing around the Pat McAfee Show for the last, really, week and a half, 2 weeks at this point. So Pat was the punter for, ironically, Cade's NFL team, his favorite NFL team, the Indianapolis Colts. And Pat McAfee is his full name. And at some point along the way, I think he was probably 5 years into his career in the NFL.
Oh, no, I think it was longer than that.
It was longer than that? Well, he retired to go become a media personality. Yeah,
like, he could have played much longer if he wanted
to. Yeah, when it was, like, a shocking thing, he was taking this deal to go become a media guy at Barstool Sports instead of being an NFL punter, which is just crazy because, like, when, you know, it's like a running joke, being a kicker or a punter in the NFL is like a dream job. You're making millions and millions of dollars one activity.
Yeah, and he was like really good, like one really of the best punters you could have had. So it was, yeah, it kind of sucked for us that we lost him.
Sucked for the Colts, for sure. Colts fans were bummed. And it was just a bizarre move. Like, it was a lot of media coverage around the move itself because it was like he was leaving so much money on the table and going to do, like, podcasting, which, you know, is largely disrespected as a profession, which is not fair. As a podcaster, I will say. It's a very hard job. But the point is, he went to Barstool. He was there for a little bit. He ended up leaving to start his own thing and his own media company and start the Pat McAfee Show, where it's like him, A.J. Hawk, who's a former
linebacker. Buckeye, yeah.
And, oh, he was also an Ohio State Buckeye, so yeah. You got a tie to him as well.
Yep.
And then, like, a little squad of other dudes that provide commentary, and they would talk about, like, the biggest stories in sports every day, and it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know. They curse a lot. Kind of like we, or I do, you know? Yeah. Like, there was cursing. It was a little juvenile in some way, right? It wasn't like your classic sports show, like, here's the story of the day. It wasn't like journalism. It was like commentary and humor and just dudes talking sports.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it, is like dudes talking sports. It's not like the analysts you see now on like ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or whatever, where they're like very professional,
yeah.
I'd say.
Not wearing suits. Pat wears like a fucking wife beater and
90% of the time.
Or cuts the sleeves off of whatever he's wearing. And yeah, it's anyway, I've been a fan of Pat McAfee. Really liked what he was doing. And then when I saw, obviously the huge news was that last year ESPN paid him like $85 million they spent. Not paid him specifically, I guess, but like paid for the Pat McAfee Show to be on ESPN. And this was when ESPN was laying off a bunch of, like, I'm doing air quotes here, legitimate journalists and sports reporters. So they were letting go of, like, the more classic ESPN, like, media strategy and bringing in a much more Barstool-esque type of show in the Pat McAfee show, clearly in an effort to either maintain a younger audience or bring in younger viewers or just switch up kind of what they had going on. Because look, to be frank, one of the genius things that Barstool has done over the years is that sports media had gotten really stuffy. You were seeing the same thing on every channel, every fucking show. All the shows were named the same type of thing, right? That's why Pardon My Take is such a genius show title, because it was combining Pardon the Interruption and First Take, and all of the shows on Fox and ESPN were all named kind of the same shit. The same type of things would happen, the same kind of takes, the same kind of people were on each show. There wasn't a lot of flavor to it. It was lacking in excitement and engagement, and Barstool switched that up. It became very irreverent, right? It was a totally different ball game with, like, just dudes being guys talking sports, that kind of thing, and chicks too, eventually. They got there. But Pat being brought into ESPN was a really big deal. And for guys like me who have been doing independent media my whole career, it was really interesting because it was almost like, well, that's the ceiling. Like, that's as high as you could go doing what I do. Like, if you did sports podcasting and you did it well enough and became popular enough, ESPN bringing your show on for $85 million is kind of the highest anybody's gone by utilizing this route, the podcasting route, the independent media route. And it was controversial because of the, you know, they got rid of a lot of people who actually had, like, established respected careers in sports reporting and commentary and journalism and whatnot. So I started watching Pat's show when it started on ESPN. And almost kind of by accident at first. It's not like I was like, ooh, I got to keep up with the Pat McAfee show. It's like, I would just turn on YouTube TV and ESPN was always one of the first options on there. And his show is on like 70% of the time.
Yeah, it seems like it's on there like all day now.
It's like, you know how they just used to run SportsCenter over and over? Well, now they just run the Pat McAfee show over and over. And that's like half their programming. So it's not easy to miss. It's there. And but when I would tune in, I enjoyed it. Like, it's fun. And like I said, it's very casual, but these are people with good takes and good insights. Pat in particular, having been in the NFL for years, and then he's got Coach Pagano on there as one of his co-hosts often, who was the coach of the Colts when Pat was on the team, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Hawk, former NFL guy. So, like, people who know the landscape with obviously a focus on the NFL, but they talk about other stories as well. And I enjoy that kind of content. And I like Pat. Seems like a good enough dude. Has had a lot of success in a realm that is the realm I participate in. So it's interesting to me. And so I've paid a little bit of attention to it. Another one of the reasons I kept tuning in is because they signed some kind of a deal where, like, I think every Thursday they had Nick Saban on the show.
Yep.
So Saban would come on and talk college football.
Which, that kind of seems weird to me because, like, Saban doesn't seem like
the guy that would agree to that.
Yeah.
That's why this show is so interesting, because, like, it doesn't feel like you would never think in a million years, if you knew Nick Saban, if you followed his career, that he would agree to do something irreverent. He's the guy who would go do serious media, sure, but even then, avoid it unless he absolutely had to, right? But apparently they paid him and the other guests that I'm about to mention pretty well to come and do the show. So Saban would come on Thursdays and give a lot of really cool insights into college football, and the guys on the Pat McAfee show would ask him good questions, and it was very helpful, especially for somebody like me who's really a casual college football fan, because I've never had a team to focus on until Texas State became the powerhouse that they are this past season, and winning our first bowl game over Rice. And Saban is just one of the more interesting personalities in football in general, because he's been at it for so long, and he's won so much. And so they'd have Saban on Thursdays. They would have J.J. Watt on Wednesdays. I love J.J. Watt. Huge fan of J.J. Watt, obviously, as a Texans fan. That dude is awesome. Thoroughly enjoy him. He's a very funny guy. Also has a lot of really good insights. Very smart. And good analysis. So he would, you know, he was kind of their, like, NFL guy. But then Tuesdays, every week, they would have Aaron Rodgers on for an hour, which is interesting because Aaron Rodgers, over the past several years, has established himself as kind of a weird cat. And really, even before, if you're listening and you're focusing on, like, if you know the story and you're thinking about, like, the COVID stuff and the pandemic shit and the politics of it, even before all that, Rodgers was kind of a weird dude. There were weird stories about him and, like, how, you know, him and his family don't speak anymore. Like, they don't get along.
Oh,
and,
yeah, because
like,
his brother was on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I think, at some point. Well, he tried to, like, use his name and, like, that made him mad or something.
Really don't know, don't care. But Rodgers is kind of a controversial sports figure even before this past few weeks. And then he's gotten to be more and more controversial as he's gotten deeper into his career and deeper into the internet forums talking about government conspiracies and politics and Jeffrey Epstein and COVID and Fauci and all the red flag controversial things you could be interested in, like QAnon and shit. Like, Rodgers was all over that, which is strange because he's an NFL quarterback. Like, when you think of the big NFL quarterbacks of this past generation, like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning, these are not guys you would expect to go on TV or on the internet or do interviews about really divisive, controversial topics. They stay as squeaky clean as possible to get as many brand deals as possible and make as much money as possible and be like classic American good old boy quarterback, you know, leaders. That's their brand. Rodgers did not do that, does not do that, has gotten even further from that as his career has gone on. And this past week, anyway, the point being, on top of McAfee being generally entertaining and me liking the show, they also had really interesting guests. And aside from those three guys who were regulars every single week with Rodgers on Tuesday, Watt on Wednesday, and Saban on Thursday, they would also bring in other people and they did good interviews. They asked good questions. I enjoyed the programming and still do. Then Aaron Rodgers this season, with the whole getting injured week one thing, kind of went off the rails. Like, you could tell he's not playing anymore. So there wasn't as much for him to talk about in terms of what was happening on the field. And he had way too much free time on his hands, I think, which he was already clearly very interested in the conspiracy theories and all that kind of shit that can be problematic in some ways. But he would come on to Pat's show on Tuesdays and just start talking about, like, he would just make random references. He kept bringing up Fauci. He challenged somebody to a debate.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, the, you know, now famously dating Taylor Swift, the tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was in a bunch of commercials for Pfizer that were promoting getting the flu shot and the latest COVID vaccine at the same time, two for one or two at the same time or whatever the fucking commercial says. And Rodgers was upset with that because Rodgers is very anti-Big Pharma, which, frankly, I don't disagree with. If you're pro-Big Pharma, I'm curious to hear an argument. But, he challenged Kelce to debate him about the COVID vaccine, which is, like, dude, you're the New York Jets quarterback, bro. Nobody wants to hear you. No offense, but nobody wants to hear you debate the COVID vaccine because you're not an expert in that field, is my point.
No. Even, like, you can do as much research as you want. Like, you're still not...
Yeah, you can do your own research all day and night. It doesn't make you a fucking doctor or a scientist. You're still Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the New York Jets. And while I can appreciate that everybody deserves an opinion, and I totally stand by free speech and the First Amendment, there does seem to be a little bit of a misunderstanding around what exactly the First Amendment guarantees, and that's where we get into some of what happened this past couple weeks. So Rodgers was coming on the show, kind of consistently building toward more and more controversial topics, and just weird shit would happen every time he was on the Pat McAfee show. He challenges Kelce to a debate about COVID or whatever, and then this past couple weeks, the Jeffrey Epstein story about the potential release of, like, the list and the flight manifests and basically the list of everyone who went out to Epstein Island, which is now a very controversial place, right? A place that, by and large, if you went there, you're being accused of being a pedophile. That's the situation. If you went to Epstein Island, people are very suspicious of your general morality. So Rodgers is on the show and he keeps bringing up, like, the potential of the Epstein list being released, which is something that all conspiracy theory obsessed people have been focused on this past couple weeks to some degree. And last week when he went on Pat McAfee's show, he said, there are a lot of people, I'll just give you the direct quote. This is Aaron Rodgers speaking. There's a lot of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, that are really hoping that doesn't come out. And he's referencing the release of the Epstein list. So when you hear that, kid, what do you think he's saying?
That he's pretty much accusing Jimmy Kimmel of being a pedophile.
Right? It's like he didn't come out and say it,
yeah.
But he said it. That's the accusation. Directly through Jimmy Kimmel's name into the potential of being a pedophile conversation regarding Epstein Island.
And he didn't say any other, you know, potential like famous people like say their names. He just directly at Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah.
Now, him and Jimmy Kimmel have had beef over the years because Kimmel makes fun of Aaron Rodgers for thinking that he's really smart when he's really dumb, which is, it's fair and it's funny. It's one of the things that happens if you're an NFL quarterback that gets out talking about all this shit like you think you're the smartest man alive. And look, I never really had any beef with Aaron Rodgers, never had anything against him. Thought he was kind of a weird cat. Not my type of dude. I don't think we would necessarily click as people and get along. But like, I saw his interview on Pardon My Take, and you know, he did okay. He's just really big into like ayahuasca and locking himself in a dark room to make life decisions and talking about Fauci and COVID and Epstein and all of this conspiracy theory stuff that, like, frankly, not that it's unimportant, it's just not my cup of tea. It's not for me. I try to focus on other stuff. And so him saying what he said about Jimmy Kimmel really upset Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel came out and said that he had received death threats since Aaron Rodgers' statement, that his family had been threatened. And Jimmy Kimmel essentially said, if you don't shut the fuck up, I will see you in court and we can debate this there. Like, I'm going to sue you, is what he said. And there are a lot of people calling Jimmy Kimmel a pussy for handling it that way. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel threatening. If I'm Jimmy Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers goes on national television and essentially calls me a pedophile, which is essentially what he did, I would sue the fucking piss out of him till I ran out of money for the rest of my life. There's no way I would allow somebody to. That's an extremely serious and fucked up accusation. If you're going to say something like that and you're going to be joking, which Rodgers now claims he was, you better make it clear you're joking, or you better have some fucking evidence to back up what you're saying. Aaron Rodgers did neither. Provided zero evidence and also I was watching live when this happened. He was not kidding. He was dead serious in the middle of a dead serious rant about a dead serious topic. And,
like, how did he even bring this up? Because I'm sure they weren't talking about the Epstein list or Jimmy
Kimmel. He probably was. He wasn't talking about Kimmel.
No, I'm saying Pat McAfee. Like, they were just probably talking about some sports thing, and then like it feels like he just kind of like brought that up just out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just brings up random outrageous shit on the show. That's like one of the things Rodgers does because he's kind of kooky. And this became a massive story where now it's getting all this coverage on all these other media networks. Like, Aaron Rodgers accuses Jimmy Kimmel of being on the Epstein list. Jimmy Kimmel fires back. Then Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday for his appearance this week on Tuesday, January 9th, and did not even come close to trying to apologize, but instead basically tried to say that he didn't do what he did, that he didn't accuse Jimmy Kimmel of being a pedophile, that he thinks that's a very serious. And this is where my beef with Aaron Rodgers begins. Now I know exactly what type of cat Aaron Rodgers is. He thinks he is smarter than everybody else, and that even if he does something really bad and it's a mistake, clearly, that he made by saying what he said about Jimmy Kimmel, rather than apologize or face the truth, that he can just lie his way out of it, and that we're all so stupid and he's so smart that we'll believe him and that we'll just let him get away with it, essentially. So let me find some of Rodgers' quotes that he said in response. Oh, so okay, here's Aaron Rodgers. This is yesterday. He says, I'm not stupid enough to accuse you of that with absolutely zero evidence. And I'm going to stop there for a second. Yes, he is stupid enough. That's exactly what he did. Back to Aaron Rodgers' statement. He said, I'm glad you're not on the list because those who are on the list, and this is what I think we can agree on, that at a minimum there should be an inquiry into their involvement, especially if they went to the island, and at maximum there should be an investigation. And I'll stop for a second here. It's Aaron Rodgers is not Team America World Police, the dude we need in charge of making sure the people on the Epstein list are held accountable. Nobody in the country that I am aware of, and if there are people, it's a very small percentage, disagrees with that sentiment. Of course, we all want to know what the fuck happened with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, if there is a powerful ring of politicians and wealthy people who are tied up in pedophilia, that is something we would all want to be aware of. And of course, if there is any fucking evidence, we want it to be investigated, but we don't need the quarterback of the New York Jets to make sure that happens. That doesn't make any fucking sense. You know what? Do you understand what I'm saying? Rodgers thinking it's his responsibility to voice these things just tells you he's kind of an egomaniacal moron. Like he's an idiot. This is insane. And that he tries to tie Kimmel being upset with him for accusing him of being a pedophile back to this, like, he's like, and this is what I think we can agree on. Well, yeah, dude. Yes, but that doesn't change the fact that you went on national TV on a show that's supposed to be a sports discussion show, just dudes being guys and talking fucking football, and you brought Jimmy Kimmel into it and threw him on the Epstein list. It's a crazy thing to do. It's a crazy, crazy thing to do. He then went on to say, I'm glad that Jimmy is not on the list. I really am. And here's the funny part. Between Rodgers saying there's some people who really don't want that list to come out, including Jimmy Kimmel, and this week, the list did come out, and Jimmy Kimmel wasn't on it.
Wait, so they released
Stephen Hawking was on it.
Yeah, that's what I really want to know what he was doing there.
Everybody does. Bill Clinton was on it, but Jimmy Kimmel was not on it.
And this is like the whole list is officially out?
No, not like that. This is just a batch of the evidence they had, I guess, that got unsealed and that was made public. But it's not like the complete and total list of everyone who ever went to that island. I don't even know if that list exists. It's kind of a conspiracy that it does.
Because everyone thinks like all these like famous celebrities
and powerful politicians and wealthy people are going to be on this list, because that's a running conspiracy theory since QAnon really bubbled up in 2020. That a certain, you know, type of conspiracy theory loving person is drawn to. Aaron Rodgers just happens to be one of those people. But yeah, so it he didn't apologize, he didn't say sorry, and now there's this like divide online. Cause part of Rodgers' problem is he thinks you can just say whatever. But it's not how it works. And this is one of the confusing things that's been a problem in just in America in general for the past couple years, especially. Like, it comes up a lot on X, formerly known as Twitter. When Elon bought it, and he was like, we're going to make this like a bastion of free speech. We're going to save free speech with Twitter. Twitter's going to save free speech. Free speech, freedom of speech, / free speech, / the First Amendment, does not mean you can say whatever you want without consequences.
Yeah, no, because there's like some forms of speech that like aren't protected.
There's libel, there's slander,
defamation, which is what he just did here.
Yes, so like you can say whatever you want in America, but if you say something that is a lie or that is damaging to someone without basis, it's illegal. You can be held accountable for that. So for Rodgers to get on ESPN, on the Pat McAfee show, and I feel bad for like Pat, and in some ways I feel bad for him, but on the other hand, it's like he's basically encouraging this. And then Pat McAfee failed to make a real apology too, and he kind of just like beat around the bush. He did it. Yeah. He has not handled this well.
Like at the end of like the whole thing, he like gets everyone to like put their fists in, and just like counts down like 3, 2, 1, like go team or something. Yeah, like that. I was like, that's just not what people
need
right now.
And like the next day he was like, you know, there's this big controversy, and like, I think Aaron was just talking shit. Like, this is like that's another bullshit statement to me. Cause it's like, bro, like that's not how guys talk shit. We don't roll just like up in the locker room accusing each other of being pedophiles. Like, that's not funny, dude. Like, that's not how dudes joke. That's not how we talk shit. That's not how people talk to each other. That's ridiculous to try to write it off as like, I think Aaron Rodgers was just having a little fun, creating a little back and forth. He threw Kimmel's name on the fucking Epstein list on live TV. That's not the same as like some fun, good old-fashioned shit-talking. You know, like,
right, yeah.
He didn't call him like a douchebag or a short clown who got beaten in basketball by Ted Cruz, and there's a million ways you could talk shit about Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not even a Jimmy Kimmel guy. I don't really like Jimmy Kimmel. But you still can't do what Rodgers did and then pretend there's no consequences or that you shouldn't be held accountable. And the most annoying part of Aaron Rodgers is that he turned this whole situation, he took himself and made himself the victim. He got on fucking McAfee show yesterday and talked for 20 minutes about how the mainstream media is trying to cancel him and that this is what the mainstream media does. They take things out of context. It's like the context here is really fucking straightforward, dude. You alleged that Jimmy Kimmel didn't want the Epstein list to come out because he was on it, and the list is considered to be a list of pedophiles.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry.
There's no fucking other angle to, like, do what you're trying to do. So he tried to make himself the victim and say he's like, they're trying to cancel me, and this is what they do with cancel culture. It's like, this has nothing to do with that. You're just a moron. And now you're trying to weasel your way out of it. And then he kept saying, like, and I'm not a victim, but like you're making yourself a victim for 20 minutes and then saying you're not a victim or you don't want to be treated like a victim. He's like, they can do whatever they want to me. I don't even care. It's like, you clearly fucking do care. You won't shut the fuck up about it. And you're ruining what was a really fun sports show for me. Like, I like tuning in and listening to this dumb shit about sports and fucking turning my brain off and just sports.
Maybe just don't watch on Tuesdays.
That's the only option I have now. Like, so here's the thing. First of all, I'm fully out on Aaron Rodgers. This dude sucks. He sucks. He's one of those people who maybe he's not a total moron, but he thinks he's so much smarter than he actually is. And those types of people, bro.
Just grind your gears.
They piss me off. Yeah. They suck. And then when they do stuff that's a mistake or wrong, rather than admit to it and apologize and move on like a normal, respectable adult, they sit there and try to weasel their way out of it with all this nonsense. And it's just disrespectful to everyone who's paying attention to you, basically. Like, we're not that stupid. But it's fucking hilarious because this is like the state of media in 2024. This is where we're at. Like, ESPN has Pat McAfee on 5 hours a day, just reruns, just fucking looping it back over again. They've got Aaron Rodgers on for an hour every week. Rodgers is allegedly being paid millions of dollars to do these appearances. And then he's spending his time on there talking about the dumbest possible things. And this is a sports show, so that's really saying something.
Yeah, there's dumb sports talks all the time.
Oh, my God.
He just makes it even...
Oh, my God. It's the easiest, most fun thing in the world, and I love it. Sports talk is so stupid. And sports in general are so stupid. I love them. I'm obsessed with them, probably at an unhealthy level. But to take that and make it this makes you suck. And that's what Rodgers does. He sucks. This guy sucks.
And ESPN, they haven't come out and said anything about it.
Oh, they're very upset. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I imagine so, but...
No, they came out and made a statement that Rodgers basically made an idiotic joke that he had no basis for, and they basically apologized for him. Knowing that he wouldn't apologize. And then Rodgers attacked their statement, and the guy who made it, like vice president of ESPN or whatever, some guy, Pat also got really upset and said that there's like some internal conspiracy at ESPN to try to like ruin their program, this is where it all stops being fun. It's like, just say sorry. Like, it was a mistake. Clearly, you can't do what Aaron Rodgers did. Say sorry. And just stop having him on your show. He's not bringing anything to the table except a weird smug attitude and his fucking terrible takes about Jimmy Kimmel. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to talk about Jimmy Kimmel. It's fucking ESPN. We're supposed to be doing sports talk. How hard is this, man? Millions of dollars to do sports talk, and you want to talk about the fucking Epstein list? The quarterback for the New York Jets is not where I want to get my takes. And I don't want to hear those takes from anybody unless they're an FBI agent or in the fucking NSA or some version of a field that is actually focused on this shit. Like, that's it. The whole thing has become a massive mess. And even like J.J. Watt was on today And they can't avoid this topic now, even when JJ's on. JJ's joking about it and kind of making fun of them. And you can tell Pat McAfee's on the edge of a nervous breakdown. But it's a fucking mess. And it kind of encompasses this, like, weird situation we've got where we've lost trust in a lot of the institutions that once held this country together. Media being one of them for sure. Big Pharma being one of them for sure, which I don't know that we ever should have trusted, but we did. And politicians for sure. Just powerful people in general, I would say. And like, those are all totally fair things. I'm not saying it's wrong for people to question a lot of these situations. I'm not even saying it's wrong for people to question the fucking vaccines. I'm not. I think that's a totally reasonable thing to do as an adult human being who's having to make decisions about your body and shit. Like, you should care. And you should ask questions. And you should do your own research. But if you're going to come out on the internet or national television on ESPN and pretend you're an expert and try to speak to things that you don't really know shit about beyond a base level, or because you got it from a third party that you haven't even fucking verified. Just because you read something online does not make it true or real. And that's the world Rogers lives in. He's at home in the fucking dark on ayahuasca fucking Googling the Epstein list. And like, that's fine. You can do that. But like, that doesn't mean you should, like, don't, just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up, dude. And can we just move? Like, he's so focused on this. Every week on Pat's show, this fucker finds a way to bring up COVID, finds a way to bring up Fauci. Shit, we're all trying to move on from.
Yeah, that was years ago, and he still can't.
And I don't know a single person on the left or the right who was like, you know what? We handled really well COVID. Nobody thinks that. It's like this group of people that Rogers is in thinks that there are a bunch of us running around like, nope, COVID went exactly as it should have. It was handled perfectly. The shutdowns were great. The vaccines worked good, and there's nothing sketchy about them at all. Like, nobody fits into that camp that y'all imagine exists, Aaron, who's not listening, but it doesn't matter because I have to vent this out. I got to get it out. Like, everybody at this point wishes things had gone better, been handled differently, that the government had done things differently, that Big Pharma had done things differently. We all feel the same level of like paranoia, distrust, and like we were misled on some level, right? Like with one thing or another with regard to the pandemic, with COVID, with politics in general, elections, all of this shit is a fucking mess. And I don't really know many people who don't feel that way, but it's this group that Rogers is in that thinks that like they're the ones who are gonna like solve it, and ironically wake everybody else up to it, while also despising woke people, whatever the fuck that means, and cancel culture. Also, they think they're the woke ones and that they're trying to wake everybody else up and cancel them.
Yeah, so they think they're woke but not the woke.
Yes.
They're also fighting against the woke.
It doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. And if it has to exist, fine. But it shouldn't have to exist on Disney-owned ESPN in the middle of the day while I'm just trying to get some sports background talk while I write my stupid fucking podcast. Please, Pat, kick him off the tour, Pat. Anyway, Rogers is a disaster. This dude absolutely blows. And he's a terrible representation of everything that I stand against.
Do you think either Pat or ESPN will be like, he can't be on anymore?
Oh, I think whenever his little version of a contract is up, they won't be doing this again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it goes through this NFL season. I don't think they're having Aaron Rodgers on every Tuesday during the NFL offseason is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope they're not. Because who knows what he's going to bring up then when there's literally no football to talk
about.
Like, who fucking knows what that would turn into? But I hope not, man, because I think if this continues, It'll inevitably be the end of what he's got, what Pat and these dudes have going there. That's going to bring the whole thing down.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, they got a good thing going right now, and that seems like
85 mil, bro.
One thing that could bring it all down right now.
Just
it seems
stop.
Like.
So, to move on from Aaron Rodgers, one of the other hilarious things about the Pat McAfee show is that all these guys are in a studio that they have built in Indianapolis, where the Colts team is, and also it's just a city. We don't have to define it by the Colts being there, I guess.
A weak ass city, apparently.
Is it in Indiana?
Yeah.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah. CJ Stroud called it a weak ass city.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, what a dick. Wait, is there an Indianapolis in Minnesota?
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm learning too, Aaron. But AJ Hawk, one of the co-hosts, if not the co-host.
He feels like the main co-host.
He's never there. Nope. So he zooms in. He does a Zoom call. And then on the screen, if you're watching at home on ESPN, half of the screen is the studio, you know, where Pat McAfee is, where Coach Pagano is, three other guys, their full production team. And then the other half of the screen is AJ Hawk's head at home on Zoom. And this has become a massive running joke at this point because AJ Hawk rarely speaks. But even if he doesn't speak for 20 minutes, his head is half the screen. And he's just sitting there with the same blank expression, basically emoting the whole show. And it's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. Like, I get if he has to Zoom in or whatever, maybe he's got other obligations or he wants to be home with his kids or something like that. I really don't know the reasoning, frankly. I can't figure it out. I've been trying to for months.
I don't know what other obligations he has other than being on the Pat McAfee show.
It makes no fucking sense to me. And he's on there all day. Like, you know, they do like a 3-hour block or whatever.
Yeah.
And he just fucking sits there. And every once in a while, they'll make him say something and he'll say something. But he is also the connection to Aaron Rodgers because him and Rodgers played together. And I think they're like close.
Yeah.
So you can tell AJ's got a little bit of this whole conspiracy guy in him, too. He loves all this drama and this ridiculousness.
Oh, really? Oh, so, yeah. I haven't picked up on that
yet. I think AJ is partially to blame here. But I have just never watched a show before where they let half of the screen be occupied by a dude who is not contributing.
Yeah.
Like, just let his Zoom go away, and then you can bring it back up when he's going to talk or something. But, like, it's just, well, it's very awkward and unintentionally hilarious.
I think it's because they don't know when
he's going
to
speak.
And, like, they would have to, like, they, like, live edit, so they have to cut
flip
to him.
Back and forth, yeah.
But they do that with everyone else.
That's
so
what
I don't...
I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. It's really, really funny and weird. And makes me laugh every single time I'm watching the show because AJ Hawk's big ass head is just there. And he's got a bookshelf behind him with a bunch of books on it. But, and this is how I know he's an idiot.
Okay.
This fucking bookshelf, bro. The books are turned.
Are they like upside down or something?
No. So you know how, like, on our bookshelf here, or I'll grab one of these books in front of me, the binding with the name of the book faces outward on every bookshelf ever that was. So you can see the
title
name.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So that when you go to look for a book, you can see, oh, there's Phil Knight, Shoe Dog. I'm going to grab that one. This fucking guy's books are turned the other way.
So you see
the pages are facing outward. You have no idea what book you're looking at. And that's how I know he's never read a single one of them, which is just like another hilarious little thing about AJ Hawk. Maybe he's changed it at this point. But like that, for a lot of the days I would tune into the show, that would bother me because in the background, it's just a bunch of books facing the wrong direction on a bookshelf. But yeah, fucking unbelievably weird situation. And just a really interesting media story because it kind of, like I said, encompasses everything we've got going on with media in this present day and age and how much of a clusterfuck it's become. And I really liked ESPN's decision to bring Pat on. I liked that they were finally giving in. Like, oh, fuck it. Barstool was right.
Yeah. Well, they had a Barstool show. It was originally part of my take. Was supposed to be that.
Yeah, like Barstool Van Talk. It got canceled after one episode.
Yeah.
Because of a bunch of comments that the guys had made about like Samantha, whatever her name was, one of the ESPN women that they had beef with. And by and large, like, I've had my issues with Barstool over the years too. I'm not going to get back into it or talk about Portnoy, but the idea that sports talk and sports content needed to change was absolutely correct. That's what I'm saying about Barstool. And ESPN finally kind of bent and went that direction with Pat, and it didn't even make it through a full NFL season before it turned into this. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they never fucked with this kind of content before. But like this is the shitty thing now from my angle is like, well, now he's ruining it for everybody else. Like, I love doing Bang in the Can. I do a Houston sports show here at Bolin Media. And if Bang in the Can got big enough, for like a Houston network or something to want to bring it on. But then they sat there and they were like, well, I don't know. Look at what happened with Pat McAfee's show. This guy cusses too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like it's ruining it for anybody else who it went from something that I was like, that's sick. That's the ceiling. That's where stuff like our operation could go if done correctly to, oh, now this is why nobody takes us seriously. This is why podcasters get shit on. Because of fucking Aaron Rodgers, man. Unreal. And I'll move on. In other sports news, the RBP Bowl took place this past weekend. Didn't go well for Cade.
No, it did
but
not.
But it was a good game.
It was a really good game, yeah.
Good game, really good game. Like, honestly, I don't think, even if it had gone the other way, I don't think either of us could be upset with the way this season went
for the
Texans or the Colts. Two teams on the rise a lot more quickly than I thought, than anybody thought they would be.
Yeah, two rookie head coaches, two rookie quarterbacks. Granted, ours got hurt early in the season, which honestly, like, even that, like, losing him and still having a shot at the playoffs was huge for us.
It's awesome. Yeah, no, it was a really good season for both teams, and both teams have been through a lot of shit. Y'all have since Peyton Manning retired, then Andrew Luck came in, Andrew Luck retired.
And
it just turned into a clusterfuck from there. Y'all have a very interesting owner, and so do we by our own rights. And so, anyway, to see both teams have a great season was really surprising and really good for both Cade and I. And then, just like last year, the Texans and Colts end up playing each other on the last day of the season, except this time, instead of draft pick positioning being at stake, it was whoever wins the game gets to go to the playoffs.
And potentially win the AFC
and
South.
Frankly, y'all not having your rookie quarterback, in my mind, I'm like, y'all don't really, like, come on, let us have this.
Yeah.
Like, we Stroud is healthy, CJ's healthy, and for you and all Colts fans who also are Ohio State fans, it's kind of a win-win.
Right.
You get to watch CJ go to the playoffs if you lose.
Yeah, I'm a Stroud boy for the playoffs.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always a Stroud boy, but like, I'm...
You're really going in
for
the playoffs.
For sure.
We appreciate the support. But good game, bad ending for the Colts. Basically, a dropped pass was the difference between potential overtime and a loss.
Yeah. It was like our third string running back, too, I think. And I feel bad for him. Like, after the game, he was, like, very upset about it. Like, he kind of knew that everyone was going to be pissed at him. And like,
yeah, it happens.
It happens.
That's the job. That's the job. People make mistakes.
But, yeah, you know, people were wondering, like...
He didn't call Jimmy Kimmel a pedophile,
yeah,
you know?
Didn't do that. But, yeah, we didn't have Jonathan Taylor in for that play for whatever reason. So, you know, it always makes you wonder what if.
Yeah.
But I'm not upset about it. Like, it would have been nice to win, but, like, we just get a better draft pick.
True.
So, that's fine with me.
So my team, the Texans, are in the playoffs, and it's going to be interesting. We're playing the fucking Browns, which are shockingly good for a Browns team that doesn't have their starting quarterback.
Yeah, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco,
some are calling
him
elite again.
Don't want to get beat by the Joe Flacco-led Cleveland Browns, I'll say that.
That's tough.
I would rather not.
Yeah.
I would really, really rather not. But we've got that to look forward to this weekend. Of course, we are the most under-respected NFL team maybe ever. So we get the 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday time slot for our playoff game. Good fun.
Good stuff. Yeah. Maybe not let Amari Cooper go off again. That'd be nice for you guys.
250 yards receiving last time or some craziness. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
having Stroud will be huge for you guys.
Yeah, we didn't have Stroud last time we played the Browns, which was just a few weeks ago. Didn't have Stroud, didn't have Nico Collins, who is our number one receiver. And looking forward to the Texans being in the playoffs again. It's going to be good fun. That was Sports Talk with Aaron Rodgers for today. Hope everybody enjoyed it. But and I hope that gave some insight into the Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel drama that has been unfolding, because undoubtedly you have seen shit about it online. And I've been watching it unfold for a week and a half now, just in awe of the general stupidity and insanity of it all. When I was a younger man, I had no freaking idea how to pick out a suit or dress at formal events in general. I'd roll up to weddings looking like an absolute jackass in baggy off-the-rack garbage that made me look like a doofus. Thankfully, I no longer have this problem, in large part due to today's sponsor, Indochino. It's time to start your style redemption story and look great at your next big event. Upgrade that off-the-rack suit sitting in your closet with a fully customized, perfect fit suit from Indochino. Measure yourself in 10 minutes or visit a showroom. Wear your new look right out of the box and keep your budget unbusted with custom suits starting at just $399. I can tell you personally, the Indochino experience is incredible. Whether you go to one of their showrooms and get measured up in person or you just do it from home and order online, I've done both now. I've been to the Indochino in Austin the first time I got one of their suits, but for my most recent order, measured myself at home with my wife's help, shopped online. The end result is still the best custom clothing experience I've ever had. My favorite Indochino suit that I wear regularly is the Stockport wool linen olive suit with a Halesworth basket weave shirt. It's a look you can find on my Instagram. My favorite suit I've ever owned, and I got it ordering from my computer at home. Again, the Stockport wool linen olive suit. If you need a suit, if you need a jacket, if you need a shirt, if you need pants, Indochino has them, and they are made just for you. Dress better than the other guys with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code RBP to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino, Indochino.com. Use code RBP when you check out for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. Long ago on this show, I shared that one of my strategies for daily domination is to always make sure I set my outfit out for the next day, the night before. So before I go to bed at night, I'd go through my closet, pick out a t-shirt and some pants and some shoes and some socks and a pair of boxers, and I'd be all set for the next day. And typically that's all I had to do because I'm, you know, that's how I dress, and like it's hot most of the time here, so I don't need a jacket or any layers or anything like that. And I'm podcasting, so I don't have to look very professional. Because in this business, what we do is we just attach people's names to random pedophilia lists and ruin perfectly good TV shows. But I got away from this habit of setting my outfits out in 2023. I just like broke routine and was too tired to deal with it, and having a baby and trying to figure out fatherhood and balancing that with business and life. It got really complicated, Cade. And I started dressing like shit again as a result, and just not feeling as ready for the next day as a result, and like having to scramble in the morning, barely awake, with a half-functioning brain to try to pick something out to wear so that I look like an idiot. It wasn't good. My whole vibe suffered as a result. So I'm back in the saddle again for 2024, and the way I've been convincing myself to get back in this habit and to attempt to get a fit off every day is by reminding myself that I could die at any minute, and they would find my body in that outfit. And that helps me. It really does.
You brought this up a while ago.
Long time ago. Oh, yeah,
this
years.
Where I first heard that theory.
Yeah.
If someone ever finds you, your dead body, you want to make sure you look your best.
Yeah, and so since I've gotten back into this routine, and I've been setting my outfit, like last night I went through and I was like, okay, I'm going to wear this t-shirt. I've got this jacket I'm going to wear with the t-shirt. I've got these pants, and I've got these shoes, and I get the socks and the underwear, and I was like, it's going to be fucking cold, so I got this beanie that I'm wearing on my head also because my hair is fucked because my haircut lady had a baby, and now I don't know how to get a hold of her. She won't answer my text messages, and I won't go find a new one. But I motivate myself to do this by saying, like, well, I could die tomorrow, and I want to look my best.
And that's what you landed on.
And this is my best. It's not a high bar. It's a low bar.
No, I have been liking your fits this year.
I'm trying a little harder.
Looking sharp,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm a casual dresser, right, but I want to dress casually well, you know?
For sure, yeah.
Right? What?
Oh, nothing. I mean, I'm kind of the same way, you know?
How do you decide what to wear each day?
I just roll out of bed.
That's what I thought.
And then I throw on a sweatshirt. I just look through my closet. I'm like, all right, what sweatshirt am I going to wear
so
today?
So what is in your closet aside from hoodies? Because you got a lot of hoodies.
Yeah. I love hoodies. Those hoodies are my go-to.
That's your shit. It makes me
comfortable.
Even in the summer when it's scorching hot, Cade is dressed in a hoodie for some reason. Nobody knows why.
Nobody knows. I mean, I got a little bit of everything. You know, I got my pants, like my going out pants.
Going out pants. Yeah. I love that.
I don't wear them for any other occasion. I'm not going to wear jeans just around the house. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But, like, I really only, like, get a fit off when I'm going out. Like,
yeah.
Other than that, I am sweatpants and a hoodie.
So if you died right now, you'd drop middle of the pod, you'd be cool with this being the fit that...
Yeah, my Nike sweatpants that are like 7 years old, and then my Stat Good Days hoodie that's too small for me, I think.
No, it fits fine.
Not in the arms.
It's no, kinda... you're okay. Fine. You're okay. Good.
Yeah, no, this is how I would...
Well, the hoodie's good. And then at least the people who came to get your body like would be like, huh, Stat Good Days, the Ross Boland podcast. I might check it out.
I might check it out.
Oh, look, the most recent episode, they talked about Aaron Rodgers for 30 minutes. I'm going to tune in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and talking about getting fits off, and then they hear, oh, this guy was...
wearing a fucking hoodie.
Yeah.
7-year-old sweatpants.
But yeah, I got some great going outfits.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's why I really like to.
So why not stunt during the day?
Because who am I impressing?
Because you're a cozy boy.
Yeah, I am a cozy boy.
You're impressed. That's the answer. You're impressing you or the people who find your corpse. This because I had the same
problem. Yeah, but I'm dead. I don't really give a fuck what they think.
I operated the same way my whole life as you are describing right now. Who am I trying to impress? What's the point? Unless I was going out and then I would try to look, you know, somewhat presentable. But even then, I didn't try very hard or do a very good job. And now I never go out ever. So that's the flip for me. Like, this changed for me pretty drastically when I stopped going out. Because I was like, well, now I never have a reason to get dressed. What the fuck? So I had to give myself this whole death threat thing, the threat of death, to inspire me to at least try a little during the day, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sense of how I got here.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha.
Because you might have to deal with this one day. I don't know. Maybe I'll stop going out.
I mean, that's the goal, I feel like, is to never have to go out again, but...
Has to be done, though.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do it, kid.
Someone has to, fight.
So you're rolling out of bed, going to the closet, picking out a hoodie, throwing on some sweatpants, and that's it, you're done.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't even throw on contacts during the week.
Just glasses.
I'm just glasses.
Straight bumming it.
Yeah. And then on Friday and Saturday are the only days I wear contacts.
Okay, so let's say it's Friday, you're done with work, you're going to go out in a couple hours... How do you pick an outfit for going out?
Oh, I already know what I'm wearing for hours in advance. Like
mentally you've selected it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, I mean, there's some times where I'm not like, okay, I think I kind of know what I want to wear. I'll try a few things on. But most of the time, I know what I'm going to wear before I even like go in the closet.
So you don't trust yourself to be like last minute, like, oh shit, I need to fucking have some clothes.
No, because I mean, like I can... throw anything
I just
together.
Found that historically, if I don't pick shit out in advance, if it's like we got to leave in 30 minutes for dinner and now I've got to put an outfit on and I don't already have it picked out, I'm going to brick that outfit.
Yeah, but like I already know what clothes I have. I know what looks good together, so it doesn't take me that long.
I always end up trying to pull off dumb shit though. I'll give you a really good example. When I was in Colorado for my buddy's wedding last summer, was it? Last summer. Wife was very pregnant last summer, yeah. That night for the wedding night, the wedding day, whatever, the day I had to put on a suit, I hadn't brought suit pants.
You didn't have your Indochinos?
I'm sorry. I had not brought shoes that went with the suit. And I didn't realize this until right before, and I panicked. Like, I had a pair of shoes that I could have worn that would have looked just fine with my suit, but I was like, no, I'm going to try to stunt. And I put on my Fear of God Nikes with this suit, and it didn't look good at all. I make panicked decisions fashion-wise, and they don't pan out ever. And then I have to look at the photos of me at that wedding, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Just got
to
crop out the
what is
feet.
This fuck? What was I thinking, bro? Yeah. Like, why? It's a perfectly good suit, great look. And then you see my feet, and you're like, what happened there? What was this? It was this terrible decision that I made. But that's what happens if I don't set shit out in advance, and then I try to stunt, horrible things happen.
Yeah, see, I just think you just don't stunt. You just go with something that you know. That's, you go with, like, your old reliable.
Yeah, that's the correct call.
Yeah. But I don't have this problem because I look good in everything.
I make bad panicked decisions is what I'm saying, though, bro.
The only place I think I do need to do a better job of getting a fit off is at the gym.
Yeah.
Because I literally pull up to this in the gym.
Yeah.
And I just look
bummy. I kind of respect that though.
Bummy as hell. And there's some cute girls there that won't talk to you, but like, you know.
Well, but yeah, but what if they, yeah.
Maybe they won't talk to me because I look like a bum.
No, it's good to maintain the thought process that it's possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it could be 100 days in a row that nobody says a single fucking word to you at the gym, but that one day that like some girl actually speaks to you, you know, you want to be ready.
Right.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do bum it a lot to the gym. I just look like I'm just, like, depressed and just, like, getting all my anger and emotion out.
I kind of like that. Yeah. I like that.
But I also don't think I give, like, a welcoming presence to me at the gym.
No, you don't. Not going in there like that, you're not.
No, absolutely not. You
don't put contacts on when you go to the gym?
No, well, they're daily, so, like, I'm not just going to waste them for an hour at the gym.
So you're wearing glasses in the gym?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
don't give a fuck, bro.
No, not at all.
Jesus Christ. We gotta
Except
get
on
you...
Fridays. Then I wear...
See, that's why I'm trying to install this fear of death in you so that you'll try harder with your daily wear. That's...
Are you telling me I need to dress better for the podcast?
No, for death.
For death?
Yeah, specifically. I'm not joking. I think this is part of my problem, like anxiety-wise, on a day-to-day basis. Is that my brain really does work that way. Like, well, what if you, like, I'll walk by a mirror and be like, I look like a fucking idiot right now. What if I die right now and this is what they find me in and somehow I care?
But you'll be dead, so you
won't
care.
Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
I will have no idea what anybody says about what I'm wearing.
Do you think, like, the people that find dead bodies, they're, like, thinking, like, oh, wow, that fit kind of goes hard.
Dude.
You think he sees, like, a pair of Jordans, like, ooh, like, can I snag those real quick?
Yes, this is what I think.
Yeah.
That they judge every single body they walk up on, like, look at this bummy motherfucker.
Yeah, not, like, how he died.
Damn, didn't even try today. Yeah. Probably why he dropped dead.
Yeah.
You know? So... I don't know. This is one of my running issues currently too, for like when I take an edible and I get high. Like, what's your main reason for getting high? To chill out, relax.
Yeah, I'm by myself, so I'm like, I gotta make it someone entertaining for me.
Change up the vibes, entertain yourself, make movies funnier, food better, sex better, all the list is, you know, it's long. Now, when I get high, I sit there and contemplate my humanity.
Jesus.
And the human condition and death. And it's not good. It totally ruins the vibes. If you can believe that. It's not good. But I can't help myself because a lot of it is really interesting to me. But this all ties into the fact that I actually find it motivational to believe that somebody finding my corpse is going to judge what I'm wearing. So that's how I motivate myself to pick out a fucking t-shirt for the day, dude.
Yeah, see, I haven't had that thought while I was high yet, so maybe that's why. I think about death a lot when I'm high, but...
See, why does that happen to people? It's the big downside of weed that I feel like we're not acknowledging. It makes you way too introspective. Like, if you're an introspective person already, and then you put weed into that equation, suddenly you're just, like, sitting there thinking through death.
Yeah.
And how it affects all of us, and whether or not it's... Because the thing that I've noticed is that it overly impacts... Like, the fear of death overly impacts my decision-making and my general existence. Like, if I could let it go more, I feel like I would be freer and easier and happier, obviously. And that it would do wonders for me. But I don't know how to let it go, because it's...
But like
fascinating.
We're all gonna die. Like I think Arian Foster said it best, but like just that thought like makes me want to like you know like live more. It's like I feel like I should do that. You know, like oh I'm gonna die, so like who gives a fuck? Just like go out and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I think that, but I still don't do it.
Yeah, it's hard to make the connection.
Yeah, and that's the thing I struggle with most is like knowing you're gonna die, so like. Try to get the most out of it because you don't know when it's going to happen. I'm less concerned about what fit I'm wearing.
Well, it's also impossible to behave that way every day.
Right.
Like, all right, this could be my last. I'm going to go do what I would do as if it's my last. People say, live every day like it's your last. That's a fucking stupid thing to say. I would quit all of this shit and go spend the day on the beach. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
If I lived every day like it was my last, I would never make any money. I couldn't pay any of my bills. I wouldn't be able to feed my kids. and I'd be on the beach, butt ass naked, high as fuck. That would be every day if I lived every day like it was my last. So that doesn't make any sense. That statement doesn't make any fucking sense.
But I think it's more like taking chances and like saying yes to things or just...
No, I totally agree with that. I'm just like the general sentiment of living every day like it's your last is like, well, I would want to spend it like with my parents and brother and like hugging my loved ones and like dapping up my grandma. And like, I can't do any of that without driving 2.5 hours to Houston. And then they all have jobs. Like they're not available. You know what I mean? It's just like an unrealistic premise.
Right.
We got responsibilities and shit we have to do. If I just live every day like it's my last, fuck all these responsibilities and shit I have to do. I'm going to go do what I want to do, which is a whole nother problem entirely. And it's probably why death is such an interesting thing to me, because so much of our lives, we have to deprioritize the fact that we are going to die because we have all this shit we think we have to do. Work, school, bills, fucking like all of that. Like it just that trying to find the balance between all that is what I've been doing in my 30s. That's what I've spent 6 years on. Trying to figure out, I'm like half kidding, but I'm also very serious. Trying to figure out like how you prioritize your day to day, knowing yes, you could die any minute, and yes, eventually we all die, but also like there is shit you do have to do, and there are responsibilities you do have that you have to acknowledge and take care of, and then there's like the rat race of like, you know, want to make more money, want to get nicer shit, be able to buy more hoodies if you're Cade, more sweatpants. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's like this big mix of existential shit that you have to shake out. And that's what I do when I'm stoned nowadays. I just try to fucking figure it out. I haven't, but I'm working on it.
So you're like watching a movie and that's just what you think about?
Nah, that's the movies and TV shows. Like, they distract me adequately.
Yeah.
But like when I'm in the shower, oh buddy, it gets fucking ugly in there.
I took
dude.
A really long shower. Like I hit my dad pen and like took a shower, and I was in there for quite a while.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Thinking about shit. And there's just like times where like I don't know what to do when I'm high, so I just like stand like in the room and just like think.
What?
It's so. I'm just,
what do you mean?
Because like I'm just like.
You stand in the room?
Yeah, I'm just like chilling and I just like.
You just freeze
my
up?
My mind just like. No, I don't freeze up, but like I'm just like chilling like on the counter or something. And I just like think
yeah.
about shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I need to like go and do something to like distract myself. And then I get distracted by my own thoughts.
Oh, this will happen to me regularly. I have to make a concerted effort not to take a shit when I'm stoned.
Okay.
Because I get lost in the shit. I'm there for 30, 45 minutes. And then I realize, like, oh my God, I haven't even wiped my ass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it happens a lot when I'm cooking too. I'll be like,
oh, that
I'll just
seems
have like
dangerous.
Too many. No, I don't like burn the house down or anything, but like, it's like during my like.
Good.
Like when I'm prepping.
Well, okay.
I'm
yeah.
like getting all this stuff out. And then like, I'm like, oh, I need to like find a song to listen to. And then I'll start to think about stuff. I'm like, oh, I need to still find that song that I want to listen to. And uh-huh. then I'm like, oh, shit, I need to start prepping my food and all that. And just like it's...
Yeah, if you have ADD, being high as hell is wildly unproductive. It can make things take a lot longer.
Yeah.
Because of the overwhelming internal monologue. That yeah. shit gets really loud.
Yeah. And it's like... I kind of just, like, smoke by myself now. I mean, I do, but, like, I don't have anyone to smoke with, so it's, like, I don't get, like, that conversation with someone else that's also really stoned, so it was just, like, be with my thoughts.
Inside your head, dude.
That's all the time.
It's the same thing with me.
Yeah.
Same exact problem. We can't solve it for each other. We have totally different schedules and lifestyles at this point, but, like, it is very funny to me that at any given night, you could be in your place standing there in the middle of the room, apparently, just thinking... Just doing the back and forth inside your own brain. And then I'm at my place, high off an edible, doing the exact same thing. Just fucking in totally different places. That just, yeah. No, it's different. It's different than like the old stoner circle back in the day, like passing the fucking blunt around or joint or bong. Now it's just me in my shower thinking about how I'm going to die, so I better put together a good outfit for tomorrow, or they're going to find my body looking like a fucking scrub. It's the stupidest. existence, dude. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, that's where I'm at. And I have to balance this with, like, parenting, like, teaching my kids basic human decency and shit, and it's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, don't have any of that to worry
about. It's really weird, dude. It really is. Speaking of the kids, so we had them at home for 18 straight days without childcare because their school was closed for the holidays. 18 fucking days, dude, with no help, just me and my wife trying to raise these hooligans. And don't get me wrong, like, I love my kids. I love spending time with them. They're the most important thing in the world to me. But having two self-employed parents trying to do kids during the holidays without childcare is some serious, ridiculous shit. Like, you know, I always heard growing up, like, single mothers are heroes. Well, yeah, they 1,000% are. I have no idea how they are doing that. That doesn't make sense. Like, any single parent, I guess, single fathers too, single parenting in general is an insane challenge. It really, especially if you have multiple, if you're talking like 2-3 kids, that is like, that is that's like winning the Super Bowl impressive to me. That's like being an Olympic gold medalist impressive to me, because it's every fucking day you're getting your ass kicked. There's nobody telling you, like, thank you so much, you did such a great job today. It's just these kids who don't even realize, like, they just take it for granted. They don't know what the fuck kind of work you're putting in. And it's like all parents in general, not even just single parents. Like, it is such a beating. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not sitting here trying to toot my own horn or even saying, like, oh, I wish I had had a different appreciation for my parents when I was a kid, because I realize this is the circle of life. This is just how it happens. You can't really know until you know, and then it's really eye-opening, and you go, oh, shit, I was a prick when I was a child. But it's a lot, man, but we survived. Got the kids back in school, no longer having to do 24-hour days of childcare at home and figure out activities for them and try to keep them alive. Yesterday, when I picked my son up from his school, he had a little scratch on his face, which it's not surprising. He scratches and hits his head on shit all the time. He's a fucking maniac. He scratches me. I've got two scratches on my face currently from him. But they handed me this piece of paper. They were like, oh, RJ had a little ouchie, and he scratched himself when he was trying to take his bib off. We have to give you this ouchie report.
Is it called the ouchie report?
It says ouchie report. And it's a piece of paper documenting what happened. It says the date, 1/9/24, time of incident, 12:15 p.m. It's essentially a police report.
For an ouchie.
Your child, RJ Boland, got an ouchie today, it says. He/she was pulling bib up, comma, scratched himself. And hurt his/her cheek, comma, broke the skin. And we gave TLC, cleaned it up, and put Neosporin on.
They played some TLC?
TLC stands for Tender Love and Care.
Oh, okay. I thought they were playing, like, No Scrubs or something.
And then the teacher. And then the teacher. Yeah, they put. Then the teacher has signed it. And I had to take this home with me to document his ouchie, which is just fucking hilarious, because it's like, if I had to produce an ouchie report for every time he gets an ouchie at home, I'd spend the whole day doing paperwork. His entire existence right now is trying to kill himself without realizing that's what he's trying to do. The other day, like, he's climbing on everything. He doesn't understand, like, the higher up you go, the further you'll fall. And the more moment, it will hurt.
Yeah.
Like, he has no concept for that at all. So we had to buy these child protection things for the stairs, right? So, like, it's like a gate, so he can't get up the stairs, so he can't fall down the stairs. Yeah. He's been studying it for weeks, like testing it, you know, like testing the fences like a velociraptor in Jurassic Park. And the other day, I haven't heard him say anything like babble or baby talk in a minute, and I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? I go look. The dude has disassembled part of the baby gate. He has figured out how, like, and this is a pretty, like, complex situation. It's really, really stuck on there well. And he got a corner of it undone somehow and was, like, about to figure his way up the stairs. I was just like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I just need to be able to work for 10 minutes without you doing some crazy shit that could endanger your entire life. And he just thinks it's funny. He has no idea how much stress he puts me under. Fucking ouchie reports at school and stuff. It's just parenting. I couldn't.
So couldn't like the teacher just write whatever? Like, what if the teacher actually gave him that ouchie?
And then was like, shit. Yeah, he has no way to like, there's no witness testimony to counter whatever she says.
Yeah, it's just the teacher's word.
Well, there's like three teachers in there. Okay. So I guess they'd rat each other out probably, you know, if one of them was just like hurting the kids.
But what's, no, teacher code. Like, they can't like.
They don't rat on each other,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But the long stretch of not having school for the kids to go to during the day is thankfully over, even though I love spending time with them. Nobody has that kind of energy, dude. Nobody.
Yeah, and, did you see like a lot of disheveled parents?
Oh my God, bro. Like, it's the first day drop off is like a celebration. Like, all these parents are just like throwing their kids through the gate, just like, get the fuck out of here.
They're cheering in the car, yes, turning up the music.
Did it. Yeah, it's a tailgate in the parking lot. Outrageous. We did it, though. We survived. Today's episode is also brought to you by Shopify. Chappelle and Neil, Key and Peele, Faye and Poehler, set up in Punchline. So what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow, whether you're selling merchandise for your podcast or handmade kaleidoscopes. Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on successfully growing your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Selling merchandise for our podcast here at Bolin Media has been a pretty big source of supplemental revenue for us, allowing us to provide our biggest fans and supporters with shirts and hats and coffee mugs and puzzles that they can wear and use and put together in real life to show their support for Bolin Media. And Shopify can be the platform that enables you to connect with your supporters in the same way. I've used the Shopify platform pretty extensively, and it is amazing. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, plus millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support you and your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase, to get that deal. Go to shopify.com/RBP now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. Please and thank you. Every week on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, we release an exclusive ad-free episode with all new material, all new content, a whole new episode, hour-long, full-length, featuring hotline calls from our listeners and our responses to those calls. We need as many of you as possible on Patreon supporting our show, because we are a small media startup, only 3 full-time employees out here grinding to create content for you. We don't always have enough sponsors to support our operations, so my savings is dwindling, and that's not ideal. So hopefully, in an effort to inspire more of you to support the show on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast in exchange for an additional ad-free episode of RBP each week, here's a little taste of what we've got going on there on Patreon with 2 of our calls from last week's Patreon exclusive episode. Enjoy.
What up, Ross? What up, Cade? This is Mac from Rhode Island. I got a kind of trash or not trash, but I don't know, but bear with me here. So my best friend and roommate doesn't believe in ghosts, and it's a big feud that we've had for years. I believe in ghosts full-heartedly. Well, recently I found out we only live 40 minutes away from the Conjuring House. And I did a little research, and you can actually rent out the house for a night and sleep there. You have full access to everything. You just drive up there, and the house is yours for the night. You're staying in it. It is quite a bit of money, but I feel like after this is a years of feuding, I need to prove my point. I mean, I just have to. So he said he's not scared and doesn't think I'll actually pull the trigger. But if I actually do, I can't tell him until the morning of. So he just wakes up one day and has to go sleep in the Conjuring House. He has no idea. I just wake him up and I say, yo, we got to go. And we're sleeping at the Conjuring House for the day. So am I an asshole for wanting it to go this far? I mean, I need to prove my point. I need to scare his ass. Thanks, boys. See ya.
Okay, so have you seen The Conjuring?
Absolutely not.
Oh, for real? Great, great horror movie. Love it. Big fan of that whole Conjuring series. And this is an interesting premise because I've said I don't really, like, believe in ghosts. Like, I don't think you can just be, like, asleep and a ghost, like, come fuck. I don't think paranormal like, activity.
Pops out
yeah,
of the wall and, like, leaves a huge messy shit.
Yeah. I don't really believe in that shit necessarily. At the same time, if you told me, yo, I booked us the Conjuring house, we're going to go stay there tonight, I would tell you to go fuck yourself. I don't screw with it. You see what I'm saying? I don't believe it necessarily, but at the same time, I don't test paranormal shit.
Right.
I'm not going to go, because then I think you can get fucked with. Like, that opens the gateway or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
if you open yourself up to it, then you can be fucked with. But I'm looking, it says it's like, this is ridiculous. So, like, a nice hotel, you know, let's say, like, $400 a night. Nice hotel. Mm-hmm. This is $960 a night on Thursdays for up to 6 people. Friday and Saturday, it's $1,280 a night for up to 8 people. And then $160 per person for additional guests. So it's a pricey experience.
That's all like per...
I think that's period.
Oh, okay.
Which is, that changes it a bit. $1,280 a night. If you've got 8 people,
that's
chop it up.
Yeah.
And I, frankly, if you don't go with the maximum amount of people allowed, you're just asking to die.
Yeah, you just like go solo dolo.
No, fuck that, dude. Yeah, you got to go with everybody that you're allowed to bring. But yeah, no, there's no way I would do this. That being said, yes, you should do this, Mac, with your boy who doesn't believe in ghosts, because that sounds incredible, and I want to hear about it afterward.
That's crazy. You can rent a haunted Airbnb. Like,
that's basically what it is. Yeah,
yeah, it's huge.
Yep.
But
it's
yeah,
theconjuringhouse.com. Like, they have a full blown business going around this thing.
But like, see, because they probably get a lot of people going there. I feel like it kind of loses like the
ghosts are just bored out of their minds.
Yeah, like, oh, like, yeah, no, more guests here. Like,
no,
they're kind of sick of like scaring them.
Yeah, they're
not
even going to come out and do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there like any reviews?
I'm sure there are tons, probably, but I don't have time to go through all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, pricey, but go do it, dude. Go do it. Just take a full, get a crew, though. Assemble a crew, not just you and your boy. Because that'd just be fucking weird, you know?
Yeah. And definitely spring it on him the day of, like,
yes.
Hey, no time to prepare.
Thing. We're going.
Yeah.
It's happening. The Conjuring House. It's time to find out if this shit is real or not. And then call us back afterwards and let us know how it goes, Mac. Good luck. Next call.
Hey, Ross, Cade. Just want to talk about butter etiquette real quick. I'm a tub butter guy because I'm allergic to stick butter. And I like to just scrape the butter in an even layer off the top. But my wife likes to take a fucking fork and dig a hole to China straight in the middle of the fucking thing. It drives me insane. You could turn this into a trash or not trash. It's fucking trash. And she's done this since as long as I've known her. Spending time with her family this holiday season, they all fucking do it. What is with these people digging fucking holes in the middle of the tub of butter? Just scrape it off the top like a normal person. That's all I have to say. I'd like to end in remembrance of all those we've lost. Micah, AJ, Mike Moody, Chris, Jared, peace.
Rest in pieces to the departed.
that list of co-hosts is like the Browns QB list. It just keeps going on and on. I'm like, shit, am I going to be added to that list next?
Well, keep your shit together, Cade.
I'll try.
Okay, butter etiquette. He said he's a tub butter guy because he's allergic to
that's
stick
tough.
Butter.
I have no idea
how that works. What? How can you be allergic to a specific, like, container of butter?
Yeah.
Like, the stick versus the tub? I didn't know there was a difference. Anyway. Yeah, so growing up, we were tub butter people. And whenever we would get a new tub of butter, the tub of butter has that nipple on it, you know?
Yeah.
That middle swirl.
Right.
We would call that the nipple.
Okay.
And sometimes we would get a spoon and spoon out the nipple, just for funsies. And then we would, but like normal people, use a knife and scrape anytime we needed to access the butter. Because, look, I could see being a nipple scooper with a spoon and then getting weird about it and just continuing to spoon.
Yeah.
But going fork on
that's
a tub
insane.
Of butter is fucking ridiculous. Like, your significant other and her family might be crazy people. And I love this because in relationships, there's always moments like this where there'll be something about your person that you're just like, this is weird, it annoys me, or it deeply upsets me, or makes no sense to me. And then you finally go meet their family, and you see where it came from, and they all do it. And it's a squad of them, and this is like a weird family genetic flaw that they're forking their butter, God knows why, digging a hole straight through the middle with a fucking fork. And yeah, no, it's trash, you're right, but it's also hilarious. Yeah. So, what can you do?
Has your wife noticed anything that you do?
Oh, God, that,
yeah.
Yeah? Oh, I'm sure.
Anything specific?
I'm sure she could have a list that's longer than our former co-host.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But yeah, this sounds like something you gotta figure out on the first date. You know, like, what are your political beliefs, religious beliefs, how many kids you want.
How you handle your butter.
Yeah. Those are the important questions you need to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot about relationships you can't knock out on that first date, and then suddenly, next thing you know, you're dating a butter forker, and you didn't even realize it. So, Godspeed, friend. Good luck. So there you have it. Head to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for more. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. You can pick the RBP gang tier. It's just $5 a month to subscribe, to support our show, and gain access to our entire backlog of content. Or you could be in the Enforcer tier, which is $10 a month. Gives you access to full video of every episode in addition to the audio, and throws a little bit more support our way. We appreciate y'all. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. That will do it for today's show. But remember, Kate and I will be back later this week on Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast with another ad-free exclusive episode of all new content available just on Patreon. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media outside of Patreon. Today we had Indochino.com, code RBP to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. Fitbod.me/Ross to get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free. And of course, Shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. To check out our other shows, go to BolinMedia.com. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, a TV and film podcast hosted by myself and Mr. Barrett Dudley, where most recently we discussed the Golden Globe Awards and got stoked for the next show we will be covering, which starts this Sunday, True Detective Season 4. We will be doing a companion podcast for all 6 episodes of that starting next Monday on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Like I mentioned, my Houston sports show, Banging the Can, is also available wherever you get your RBP. And then, of course, J-Bone has Formula Bone over on YouTube.com/@FormulaBone, or even during the F1 offseason, he's creating the best F1 content that the internet has to offer, YouTube.com/FormulaBone. Make sure you follow our show on all the social media platforms. Just search the Ross Bolin Podcast on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. And also follow Cade and I. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's K-A-D-E-O-R-R-I-S.
And I am at W-R Bolin, at W-R-B-O-L-E-N. This episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast was presented by Bolin Media, and video of today's show was produced by Cade Orris. Go to YouTube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast for full video of our show, plus funny clips in the form of YouTube shorts. Until next time, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thanks for supporting. Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.